very familiar portion of Scripture. I've preached from this text before a couple of times. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Still on the subject of Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving coming up here in a couple of weeks or a week and a half. Next week, next Thursday. We have Thanksgiving. We've been looking at the way that Thanksgiving gives us power. And the first one we looked at was the power of safeguard and how Thanksgiving will safeguard our lives. And then last week we looked at how that we can glorify God in the highest way, in the highest manner, by giving thanks. This week we want to look at the peace of Thanksgiving. How that Thanksgiving will empower us to have peace in our life. It gives us peace. And we do need peace in our lives. And so we want to look at the peace of Thanksgiving. So lots of things going on in this world that could rob our peace, but if we give thanks, I believe that it will give us peace in our hearts. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that we can come together and we can worship you and we can pray, sing praises to you. Lord, we pray, God, that we would exalt and magnify you here this morning. We implore you and we invite you to come and meet with us. Father, you know the hearts of each and every person who's here. You know what's going on in their lives. You know the things that they are struggling with, the sins that are besetting them, the things that they could be worrying about. They may not have peace in their lives. Lord, you know all of those things much better than I do. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts this morning. I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would lead and guide me as I preach and teach. Help me to say things that are needful and necessary that would exhort the believers and help us today. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we will read verses 5 to 8. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and they are having problems in their lives. They are being persecuted for their faith. Paul is writing this letter from prison. As a matter of fact, this is a prison epistle. And the theme of the book, ironically, the theme of the book would be joy. Paul the Apostle has joy as he's in prison, and he's trying to write to them to encourage them to have joy as they are being persecuted for their faith. So they got a lot of worries. They have real worries that they could be worrying about, and Paul the Apostle is writing to them to encourage them. So verse number 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." He says in verse number 6, well, he starts off in verse number 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." You and I as Christians are called to be moderate. And if we're full of worry and we're full of care and we're full of anxiety, we cannot be moderate. But verse number 5, he says, "Be careful for nothing." Don't be full of care. Don't be full of anxiety. Don't be full of worry about anything. Now, is he telling us, well, you know, just throw all caution to the wind and don't bother with the things of your life and don't worry about your marriage and don't worry about your life. You know, everything will be ho-hum and just fine if you don't be concerned about those things. Is that what he's trying to tell us here? I don't believe so. No, he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be worrying about anything. I know you got worries, but don't be worrying about anything. Instead, he says, but
in opposition to that, the antithesis to being worrisome or being careful for everything. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, instead of worrying, be full of prayer. Be praying to God instead of worrying. I don't know if you are like this or if you struggle with this. I'm sure that each and every one of us struggle with this to some degree, but that is worry. Are you a worry wart? Worrying about things. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just don't know. All of us, I believe that we do wrestle with this thing of worry. Some probably more than others. I know that I do. I worry. I struggle with this thing of worry, but we worry. And we worry because worry is a natural response to uncertainty. And we live in an uncertain world, don't we? I mean, we just got through with elections and we still don't know, well, who's going to be president? That's up in the air. It's uncertain. Well, is Donald Trump going to be president or is it going to be Joe Biden? What's it going to be? It's uncertain. Well, what's life going to be like if Joe Biden gets it? I worry, well, are we going to have freedom of speech? What's going to change? We're going to have our rights infringed upon? Is he coming after our guns? What's going to happen? It's uncertain. Well, what happens if Donald Trump gets elected? Donald Trump gets elected, are they going to burn the country down? Are there going to be riots? Probably not in Portales. We hope not, but how would that affect everything? Is there going to be a civil war? What's going to happen? It's just so uncertain in our lives. Politics are that way, but we live in a world that is constantly changing. We have a life that is constantly changing all the time. Nothing stays the same. There is economic uncertainty. What's going to happen? You're going to have the same amount of money that this week that you have next week that you had this week? The Bible says that money is like can make wings and fly away. You won't have it the next week. I remember several times in my working career, I got back to the shop or I got someplace and they said, well, we're shutting the doors. That's it. They didn't give me a notice. They didn't tell me anything. We're just shutting the doors and I got laid off. So pack up your things and leave. Go somewhere else. Why? Because things are uncertain. I remember the economic downturn in 2009. I had money in a 401k plan, and every time I got the statement, well, my money was going down and down and down further and further. People lost a fortune. Why? Because things are just uncertain. Life is uncertain. Money is uncertain. Government is uncertain. People are uncertain. Health is uncertain. We live in a body that is constantly changing all the time, and we don't know what kind of health that we're going to have. Will you have the same kind of health next year that you have this year? Will you be alive next week? The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it is gone. We will not always have the life that we do have. We won't always have the health. Why? Because our body's changing. It's always morphing and doing something, and so it's going to come to an end. We don't know what kind of time that we have left. What about relationship uncertainty? The friends that you have today might not be the friends that you have next week. Why? Because people are fickle. I mean, they might like you today, but then they get mad at you, and then they're not your friend anymore, and they're not going to be there for you anymore. And there's this relationship uncertainty. And so in a world like this, where there is so much uncertainty in our lives, why wouldn't we worry? Why wouldn't we? Well, I can tell you this much, that worry is a sin. We should not be worrying whenever we serve a God who does not change. And the cure for worry or anxiety is thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's how we cure this thing. That's how we have the power of peace in our life, is by being thankful. That's how we can have peace in a changing world, is to just be thankful, to look on the bright side of things, so to speak. That's not always easy when times are changing. But this morning I want to look at three areas where thankfulness must reside in a Christian. in a changing world. Where is this thankfulness going to be at in the life of a Christian? Well, number one, it has to be in your prayers. We must pray with thanksgiving. Amen. There's plenty of people that go to God in prayer, but they don't always thank God the way that they ought to. He says in verse number 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," qualifier, "with thanksgiving." We must pray with thanksgiving. And he says that we must go to God. And Paul doesn't say, now dig down really deep into your heart and try really hard and find something, muster up some kind of strength within yourself whenever things go bad. No, he says, go to God in prayer. And Paul is not looking at their life, and we must not do the same. Paul is not looking at their life through rose-colored glasses and saying, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. You know, don't look at the problem over here. Don't worry about those things. No, he's not. He's saying, yeah, you got problems. I acknowledge those problems. Now go to God in prayer. Bring your request to God with thanksgiving. Thankfulness must start in your relationship with God. That's where it must start. We must be thankful to God in everything. Why? Because God is the one who supplies all of our needs. He is the one who gives us everything that we have. And when we go to God in prayer, our prayers must be God-centered, not man-centered. How many times have I gone to God in prayer, and it was more about me and not about God? When Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, he says in Matthew chapter number 6, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so it is in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Do you notice how much that God is in the middle of all of those prayers? It is God-centered and not man-centered. He says, "Hallowed be thy name." But look, God, your name is holy. Your name is holy. Now, I've heard some people talk about praying, and they don't actually come to God with that kind of an attitude when they come to God in prayer. Well, they say things like, well, Jesus is dope and things like that. I don't think we ought to disrespect God, the Father, and Jesus Christ like that. Jesus Christ says, "Hallowed be thy name." We come and we say, "Your will be done, God. Not my will, but your will be done. God, yours is the glory. Yours is the power. Yours is the honor. Not me." And when Jesus taught them to pray, he only mentioned a few little things that men need: our daily bread. Not a mansion. Not a $1 million in the bank, but no, our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. Now, deliver us from evil, all of these things. And so the object of our prayers is not to fulfill all of our desires that we have. Many times we might think that, well, I'm going to God in prayer because I need all of these things. But when we pray and it's not God-centered and we don't come to God in prayer, it's more of a demand and not a request. When you and I go to God in prayer and we don't come to God with thanksgiving, what we are saying is, God, this is what I need. This is what I want, and these are my demands, and this is my list right here, and I want these things fulfilled right here. And we come to God with that kind of an attitude when we don't thank God in the first. We must thank God. Lord, do this for me. And we have a distorted view of God. We think that God is some kind of a genie in the bottle, or he's like Santa Claus. And we give him our list and say, Lord, I've been good, now give me these things right here. But God is not here to give us our three most desired wishes of life. That's not why God is here. and we come to God with thanksgiving, and when we pray to Him and we don't, we're not treating Him as the omnipotent King of Kings and Lord of Lords that He is. I mean, you and I, as Americans, have never been under a king. We don't know what it's like to come before a king and ask him for something. Our mindset is we are Americans and we vote presidents in. And we have a right now to speak to that president any way that we want to. But God is a king. He is a king. And so prayers without thanksgiving is more of a demand. Now, prayers without thanksgiving is more of a complaint. Now, we can go to God and we can pray, but if we don't come to God with thanksgiving, it's more of a complaint. Well, God, why aren't you doing this for me? I want these things. Now, God, give me these things. I mean, the children of Israel in the Old Testament prayed to God and went to God and talked to God plenty of times, but they didn't come with thanksgiving. They said, God, why aren't you giving me the things that I want? What's the matter with you? I mean, don't you see that we're hungry and we're tired and I want these things? They didn't come to God with thanksgiving. It was a complaint. And let me tell you something. God does want to hear our complaints. He wants to hear our needs. He needs to hear from us. But we must come with thanksgiving. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When you approach God and I approach God, we must approach God with thank you. Thank you, Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Because the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. That's why we come to God with thanksgiving. But when we come to God and we don't come to God with thanksgiving, and we have more of a demand or a complaint, you know what that does? That just compounds the anxiety and the worry. Because now you come to God and you're expecting, look, God has to answer my prayer the way that I want Him to answer, and these are my demands, and He better answer or... I'm just going to get really mad then. Like a little kid throwing a fit. And our anxiety just compounds. Because God has got to do these things. No, God, He did not answer in my time frame. That didn't help you much, did it? It didn't help me much, did it? No, and now there's not any peace in your hearts. And now you're angry with God. No, we must come to God with prayer, and it must be full of thanksgiving to God. No matter how He answers it, yes, we must come with thanksgiving. And that gives us peace. But thankfulness must not only be in our prayers, but it must flow, our prayers must flow from a heart of thanksgiving. He says in verse number 7, he says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts. Shall keep your hearts. Boy, you better watch your heart. You better watch out what you do with your heart. Because everything that is in your life, all the decisions that you and I make, they all come from the heart. Each and every one of them. And if your heart is not full of thanksgiving, boy, you're going to make some wild decisions. You're going to make some bad decisions in life. Jesus Christ told his disciples, he says, from the heart proceedeth fornications and adulteries and murders and all drunkenness, and all of these things come from the heart. Someone once said that private sins become public sins one of these days. You know where all of those sins started? Right there in the heart. Started with a desire, started with a thought, and then they became public and everyone saw it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why? Because you and I, as human beings, we do what we want to do. That's what we do. And if you and I do not have a heart full of thanksgiving, we're in for a rough go of it. You and I are not going to have the peace that we ought to have. And a heart that is thankful is a heart that is a peaceful heart. It is a peaceful heart. Whenever they build castles in the olden days, they would put a well right in the middle of the castle. They did this for a good reason. The reason that they did this is so that when the enemy would come against the castle and try to invade the castle, they would have a water supply on the inside of the castle. They didn't want a river running from the outside into the inside of the castle because the enemy could stop up the river and it would stop the water supply. So they dug a deep well right in the middle of that castle. And then when the enemy came, they could still be refreshed. They could still be strengthened because they had that water supply on the inside. Did you know that Christians have a water supply on the inside of them?
Yes, sir.
And when the enemy comes and tragedy strikes in your life or something bad happens in your life, you can still be refreshed on the inside. You can still be strengthened on the inside because you have the Prince of Peace who lives on the inside of you. And He refreshes you and He helps you. You know what the world does? You know where they look for their peace and their happiness and their joy? Well, the economy's doing well. We're happy and we got peace. Well, if my candidate gets elected president, then I'm happy. Then I have peace. Well, if I got a good job, then I've got peace. You know what it's all dependent on? Outside circumstances. They don't have anything on the inside that keeps them peaceful. And a thankful heart is a peaceful heart. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it might be storming outside. The storms might be beating on the outside of your house. But did you know that you can still have peace on the inside of your heart because you have Jesus Christ and He's the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ told the woman at the well that there'll be a well of water springing up on the inside. And it gives us sustenance and it gives us help in times of trouble. The Prince of Peace is there and He indwells and He rules and He reigns on the inside of the believer. A thankful heart is a peaceful heart, but a thankful heart is also a strong heart. Because it says, He shall keep your hearts and minds. He shall keep your hearts and minds. That means you're going to stand strong and you're going to stand firm. You're not going to waver. You're not going to go wobbly whenever things go bad. No, the Father keeps the hearts of the believers. Now there's a sense in which you and I keep our own hearts. We must watch our own hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, Solomon says. How do we keep our hearts? Thank you, God. Being thankful to God in everything. And then the Father keeps our hearts and we remain strong. It doesn't matter what happens outside, we remain strong. And He purges our hearts of bitterness and envy and rage and hate and all of these things. Why? Because of thankfulness. A thankful heart is one that is kept by God the Father. And it's through Christ Jesus. It is only through Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He's the go-between. He's the mediator. He's the one that died for your sins and for my sins. And that's how He can keep our hearts. We got someone we know, and that's Jesus Christ. Jude said in Jude 24, "Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling." Boy, Jesus Christ keeps us. How do we keep ourselves? What gives us the power to have peace? It is thankfulness through Christ. And a thankful heart, when we have that, a thankful heart, boy, it affects our mind. It affects our thoughts. Did you know that we have to have our minds, our mind and our thoughts full of thankfulness towards God? He says in verse 7 and 8, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Then He goes on to tell us what we got to think about. Do you ever think about your thought life? What do I actually think about? Do I think about positive things or is it always on the negative? Because most of the time I myself tend towards the negative. And you know what that does? That doesn't make for a real rich life when you always got the negative thinking going on. But he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, those are the things that you need to think about. Having thankful thoughts for what God has given to you. Cicero once said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtue, but it is the parent of all others. Integrity flows from thankfulness. Honesty flows from thankfulness. Everything flows from thankfulness in our hearts. Are you one of the kind of people that looks at the glass and says, oh, it's half empty? Or is it half full? We got to have those positive, thankful thoughts. The unthankful mind says these things. Look, God never supplies my needs. He never gives me what I need. I'm always needing something else. Now, is that a true and honest thought? Of course it's not. Those things are not true. The unthankful mind always looks at every situation of life, and it's a curse. It's not a blessing. You don't see the good side of things when you are unthankful. The unthankful mind cannot see a good report in anything. Everything is bad. Everything is dire. Everything is bad. The unthankful mind is always looking at his neighbor and saying, look what they got. They got the nicer house. They got the nicer car. They've got the better looks. They've got the better career. Why didn't God bless me with those things? I mean, look what I have. They've got stuff that's way better than I do. They've got the talent. Boy, they can sing better than I can. What's up with that? And we never thank God for the things that He's given to us. And you know what? Those people that you're looking at are probably saying the same thing about you. They've got the things that I don't have. They're so unthankful. And Paul sums up all of his list here. The things that he's been saying, he sums it up. He says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What is virtue? It's goodness or uprightness or excellence. And what is praise? Something that is commendable. And so Paul is saying there, he says, all of the good, upright, excellent things that God has given to us, those are the things that we should fill our minds with. And not the bad things. But our minds, they're prone to negativity, aren't they? They're prone to looking at things that we don't have. You know why? Because of Adam and Eve. Because of the fall. Do you ever think about the story of Adam and Eve? There's Eve in the Garden of Eden with Adam. I don't know where Adam is at the moment. But God told Adam and Eve, He says, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. You can have them all, except one. You can't have that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But all the rest of them, yeah, you can freely eat, freely. Yeah. I'm going to cost you a thing. Yeah. You don't have to work for it. They're yours, free. Blessing to you, Adam and Eve. And there's Eve, and she's alone. And here comes Satan. And you know what he did? He drew her attention to the one thing that she couldn't have. Hey, Eve, have you ever thought about that one tree that God said you couldn't eat? And there she thought about it. She took of the fruit. That's right, that's not fair. I ought to be able to have that tree too. You know what she did? She should have just thanked God for all the other trees that she had. Oh, thank you, God, for all of these 50, 100, whatever trees they were. Thank you, God, for these things. Don't worry about that one tree. You know that we do the same things. The devil gets in our mind and he tempts us and he says, look at all the things that you don't have. You see what your neighbor's got. You see what so-and-so's got. And you become dissatisfied. And I become dissatisfied. And what we ought to be doing is saying, yeah, but look at all of the other blessings that God has given to me. Look at all of the things that God has given to me. Look, devil, you just take a hike. Take a hike because God has blessed me immensely. And if God wants to bless somebody else a different way, that's up to Him. But God has been good to me. Just be thankful to God. But we become dissatisfied and disenfranchised with God. So as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, keep your mind and keep your eyes upon the blessings that God has given to you. Just think about those things. Because everything that you need is found in Jesus Christ, and it is found in the gospel. That's where it is found. He says, He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How can you and I be thankful in a world full of changing circumstances? How can we do this? How can we overcome worry and have that peace? Have the power to have peace? We look at Jesus Christ. We look at the gospel because those things never change. We serve a God who does not change. We have a Savior who does not change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God told the children of Israel, I am the God who does not change. We have a Savior who doesn't change. We have a word that doesn't change. We have promises in the Word of God that do not change. God cannot lie. That's how we can survive in a changing world. Our hope is in Him, in Him alone. Yeah, but what about our health? It's going to change. But I have eternal life that's going to last forever. Well, the politics, they're going to change. The economy is going to change. But Jesus Christ never changes. And I have the true riches, and you have the true riches found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. That's the real thing. Righteousness, holiness, joy, satisfaction. That's what we have. Yeah, but what about society? What about this godless society that we live in? What about this God-rejecting society? They're not going to overthrow the Bible. They're not going to overthrow Jesus Christ. Even after this society is gone, even after America is gone, and everything is over with. You know what's still going to remain true and what will still be here after all of those things? The Bible and Jesus Christ. They will still be there. America will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. Will not pass away. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. How are you and I going to have peace? How do we get the power to have peace? Be thankful. Be thankful for all that God has given to you. We're not going to have an invitation this morning. Let's all stand, please.